go get Michael. My wife, she can go get Michael. I don't even know where he's at. 10-year-olds.
10-year-olds.
Okay. Okay, well, why my wife's looking for Michael, I'd just like to say a couple things. First, it's an honor to be here. And I mean that. You have a precious pastor, man of God, and I thank him for allowing me to come. And I would like to say a couple things about joy and happiness before we start. I'd like to say that I can die right now. And I mean that. Happy. With joy in my heart. And I believe one of the reasons is because I'm in God's perfect will. And I just like to say something, that if you're here and you're a Christian, or even if you're not a Christian, or maybe you believe in Christ, but He's in your mind, you know about Christ, but you don't know Christ. You know, there's a big difference about that. You can know everything about Christ and not know Christ. You know that, right? I was born and raised Roman Catholic, in the Catholic religion, but I was religious. But I was lost. I did not know Jesus as my personal Savior. And just because someone says they believe in Jesus Christ does not mean they're saved. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verses 19, that the devils also believe and tremble. That's what the Bible says. So when you go to Paraguay, or especially Staten Island, and you go to your neighbors, you believe in Jesus? Of course I believe in Jesus. Right? Well, but what they're trying to say is they know about Jesus. They believe that He exists. And I'd like to give a clear example. How many of us, and I'm sure every one of us would raise our hands, how many of us would say, "Preacher, there was a time, and I believe it for a fact, that Abraham Lincoln was, in fact, at one time, the President of the United States"? Raise your hand. Okay, of course. Now raise your hand if you know him. You say? You say? It's a big difference, isn't it? We can go to religious crowds and to our neighbors, in Paraguay especially, and say, "How many of you know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins?" And they would all raise their hand, wouldn't they? They're not going to raise their hand. What do you mean? They have a crucifix. Now, we believe in a risen Savior, but it's not the point. But how many of you actually know Jesus Christ? That's another thing. So many people have Christ and God in their mind, but they don't know Jesus in their hearts. That's a different thing. And I'd like to say something, that if you're here and you're a Christian today and you're not in God's perfect will for your life, you're not happy. It is impossible. I remember being a younger Christian and knowing God was calling me, but I wasn't there yet, and there was problems in my life. And maybe at the time, God's will for my life was get my family right, or do this or stop doing this. And you'll never get the victory until you conquer that and keep on going. You know that you're only as successful as a speed bump in front of you. You know that, right? And a lot of times there's speed bumps in front of us, and it's our own life and our own sin, right? Amen. Amen. And you'll never be happy until you're in God's will. You know, if it is God's will for me to scrub toilets in Africa in the heat with vipers and lions and tigers and bears, oh my, you know that if I'm not doing that, I'll never be happy. The happiness of a Christian is doing God's will. You know that, right? Now, the happiness of a lost man is the world. It's himself. It's money. It's power. It's fame. It's whatever thing that's in his heart he wants, and then he's not happy, and then he just wants more. Isn't that true?
Yep.
Now, if you're here this morning and you're not happy and you're seeking the things of the world, you'll never be happy. You know the Bible says, "He that loved not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." I believe that's talking to a Christian. That can be applied to everyone, right? Now, I've seen Christians who say, "I'm saved, brother. I'm saved." Amen. But there's no joy, no love, no testimony, nothing in their hearts. Isn't that true? You wonder why sometimes. Well, there's either one or two reasons. One, they don't have Jesus. Or two, they have Jesus. They just let a lot of world come in their heart. Isn't that true? Well, I'd like to say this. I'm happy this morning. I'd like to say I could die right now. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" Well, I don't know. There's nothing else. I'm in God's perfect will right now. And what is His will? Paraguay. And getting to Paraguay and winning souls to Jesus Christ. That's God's will for my family and I. And I thank God that my wife also got a hold of that also. That God called me to Paraguay. And God necessarily didn't call my wife to Paraguay. She didn't know. She didn't come to me and say, "We're going to Paraguay." I came to her and said, "We're going to Paraguay." But God called my wife to obey her husband and to love God. And I thank God I have a wife who did that. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, any wife that could follow a knucklehead like me is a good wife, trust me. You would have to be either very spiritual or stupid. And I believe my wife is spiritual. I'm not the stupid part. Amen. Sometimes I think I wouldn't follow myself. You ever think that? I mean, I know myself. That's not good. Sometimes I wonder, how could he have seen something good in me? Isn't that true? There's a song, I can't sing it right now, but there's a song that, a vessel of mercy, that's all that I am. If you see any good in me, it's all because of him. Isn't that true? That is good. That is true. I was born and raised in Philadelphia, in Philly, the city of brotherly shove. Now, if you've ever been there, you know that's to be true. It's definitely not the city of brotherly love. It's not. Without Jesus Christ, there is no love. You know that, right? You know that, right? Okay, I don't care which city you're in. And I'm going to show you a video, about 10 minutes, 3.5 years in the 10 minutes. So it's not real easy to do that, but we try to do the best we can. The video is not the sharpest. I'm not the sharpest. That's probably why. There's a lot of video, natural video. It might be some dark, some spots, and maybe I just pray that God touches your heart, that God does it, and I believe that. We've been in Paraguay for a little over 3.5 years, or a little over three years, somewhere in there. And we need to get back to Paraguay. We need to get back personally, and please don't get offended. I don't think you will. We don't even want to be here now. I'm glad that I'm here to meet you, don't get me wrong, but we need to be in Paraguay. I can't even explain how I feel. I probably can't. I promised myself I wouldn't cry, but always do. And it's like, how can I explain it to you? It's like saying, God has called me to sit in that chair, to love that chair, and my life is that chair. And I see it, but I can't sit in it. How would I feel? Oh, I just want to sit in that chair. That's just my life. I have to sit in that chair, but I'm not sitting in it. That's how I feel. God's called me to Paraguay. My love, you know, sometimes, and I told the pastor this last night in the fellowship, that sometimes I forget I'm white. I mean that. I am so deeply involved with the Paraguayan people and winning souls of Jesus to the Hispanics that sometimes I forget I'm white. I mean, all around me are tan-colored skin, and I'm, you know, well, I used to be blonde. I don't know now, but, you know, white boy. I'll say in Spanish, soy gringo, pero mi corazón es latino, which means, who understands Spanish? Raise your hand, please. Amén. Hay mucha gente aquí que entienden. ¿Tú entiendes también, hermano? Amén. What I said was, I'm a white boy, but my heart is Hispanic. And I mean that with all my heart. We need to get back to Paraguay, and the reason why we're here now is we're trying to raise up more support to get back in Paraguay. We've started, by God's grace, we've started 2 churches and a Bible Institute, and you'll see that in the video. I'd like to get back and start 3 or 4 or 5 churches. Amen. I would love to see how you could be a part of our ministry, whether financial or prayer. It doesn't matter. We need prayer. We need prayer. I've already considered in my heart, I already set it in stone. I've already talked to my wife about this. What happens if United States, it's getting bad. You know, Paraguay is freer than America. Yeah, it is. I'm sorry to say that. I love America. Land of the free, but you can't talk about Jesus in a public school, can you? No, you can't. You get suspended, you get in trouble. Paraguay, you could preach Jesus all day long. Now it's another whole story. Please keep us in prayer. And before I say some other things, I'd like Delilah and Michael to come up. And this is, they don't know. They're like, what are we going to sing? That's all right. I'll tell them when they get up here. It's best when it's like that, isn't it? I'll have them sing a song. We'll watch a video and I'll speak a little bit more. And
While they're coming, I wanted to mention, when we see this video, the folks over here aren't going to be able to see it. So if you would, while they're getting ready, if you want, and probably there's a line like right back, probably right where you are, Paul, you might not be able to see it. So if you want to either maybe move over here temporarily or get where you can see this space right over the baptistry is where we're going to show it. Sorry about that. We tried to find a screen to put up here so everybody could see it, and I don't know what happened to our big screen. Also, just pull your microphone up right underneath that knot right there.
Okay. And I'd like to say, before they come up, I wanted to finish my thought. And I told my wife, I said, what happens if America goes down? The financial support of the brethren, of the church, is no longer. And for some reason, there is no more money coming in to sustain this in Paraguay. What do? We're going to Paraguay anyway. And I mean that. Do you think that my calling is just based on getting money to get to Paraguay? No. God's called me to Paraguay. And I need to get back. And please come. This is Delilah and Michael, my son, and my daughter. Oh, you don't know what you're singing. Okay, in my own strength, don't go too slow.
In my own strength, I am so weak. Nothing I do will last. But with power from you, Lord, everything that I do will be here when time has passed. Lord, give me a crucified heart, broken into be made exactly like you. Lord, may I be willing to die, daily take up my cross with a crucified heart. You are the key, you are the key to what I can be. I have you in my heart. So cleanse every part, making me a new start. With you I am crucified. Lord, give me a crucified heart, broken into be made exactly like you. Lord, may I be willing to die, daily take up my cross with a crucified heart.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, joy is spelled J-O-Y. You want joy? I do too. You want joy, brother? Who doesn't want joy, right? Even a lost man wants joy. Joy is J-O-Y. You know how to have it? You want joy in your life? Okay, follow the spelling of the word. J-O-Y. J, Jesus first. O, others next. Y, yourself last. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
I must decrease and he must increase. That is the key to joy. You know that, right? And if God has not called me to Listen, I'll tell you the truth. If God did not call me to Paraguay, I would never go. I would have prayed, sent some money, but I would have never went. I have a college degree, played college football. I have a degree in horticulture. Horticulture? Yeah, I know. I don't know what am I doing with that, but I have a degree in horticulture, and I had a good job in a chemical company. Had houses being built in the water. Listen, folks, church, if God has not called me, I would not go to Paraguay. I'm going to mention this. You don't love people if you don't love God. You know that, right? You can't love someone if you don't love God. Love God first, and then you'll love your neighbor next. And we'll talk about that next. Please open your heart to the ministry that God's called us to. Pray how you could be a part of it. Paraguay is wide open to the gospel. 95% Roman Catholic. Well, it was 100%, but now since we've been there, it's 95%. Amen? And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. Why are we going? To win souls to Jesus. God's called me to win the whole world to Christ, but Catholics to Jesus. Isn't that something? I was Roman Catholic. I went to CCD. Who was Catholic here before they were saved? Man, that's half the congregation. Now, who went to CCD? Raise your hand. Now, CCD are for people who didn't go to Catholic school, right? I went to CCD too, made my confirmation. No, first it's confession. No, then your communion, or communion confession, then your confirmation, right? And then I got kicked out after that. I had to do that. But God has called me to the religious but lost man. You know, half the world's religious but lost. Paraguay is wide open to the gospel. You can go down right now, win souls to Jesus. You just need to go. You say, how did you hear about Paraguay? Now, let's be honest, and don't try to show you're smart and you know about the geography and everything. Just be honest. How many of you have never really heard much about Paraguay? Raise your hand. You never really heard much about almost the whole congregation. You know why? Because not many missionaries there. Missionaries go to Brazil, which they need more. The Philistines, or the Philistines, yeah, they need it too. Philippines, yeah, New York, the Philippines, but they need more too. Mexico, right? You've heard of missionaries in Mexico, but they need more too. But why not Paraguay? Wide open. We preach the gospel on public buses, filled with 40 to 50 people hanging out of the bus, almost falling into the street. Have you ever been to a third world country and the buses, they're jammed, they get on top and they're hanging on the windows. And we get in there and pass out tracts to everyone. They can't go anywhere. They can't run. And we get permission from the bus driver, the chauffeur. That's what we call them. That's what they call them, the chauffeurs. and we give them gospel tracts and preach Christ crucified. And many times with tears, I always talk about tears, so if you think that's charismatic, I don't know what to tell you. Jesus wept. Jeremiah wept. That's all I have to tell you. The tears are connected to your heart. I'm not saying you have to cry, but it'd be nice to cry once in a while, wouldn't it? For Jesus, for souls, love in your heart. Wouldn't that be great? And Paraguay's wide open to the gospel. Souls are getting saved. I believe if I had more workers, I mean, remember, we're new. We've only been there. I'm working by ourselves. We're not working with any missionary. We're not with a team. It's just us. We just went to a city and said, God, use me. And just went house to house and preaching on the streets and compelling them to come in. And they were. They came in. Amen. And open your hearts as we watch the video, please.
We might have to close the drapes so somebody be ready to do that.
The brother has a sound, right? Okay. Okay. Never done this before. I don't know if putting this into something different, but it's never. Oh, there we go.
My name is Tim Fuller, pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Sending church of Mike and Marcy Wills. I've known Brother Mike for about 4 years now, and he has been such an encouragement and a blessing to me. His passion and his zeal for the Lord and for souls is contagious. The Lord is doing great things through his life in Paraguay. I am honored to know him. I am honored that he's out of our church. I'm honored that our church can have a part in sending him to the mission field. I know of no other couple that I have greater confidence in than Mike and Marcy Wills. And I would be honored if you would have a part in their ministry. Thank you.
What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost.
My name is Mike Wilps, and this is my family, my wife Marcelina, my daughter Delilah, my son Michael, and my daughter Charity. Pray for us. We are missionaries to Paraguay, South America. We've been there 3.5 years. We've started 2 churches and a Bible Institute. Paraguay is in this heart of South America. It's landlocked, there's no oceans, and it's surrounded by 3 countries, Brazil, Argentina, and Bolivia. Paraguay is the size of California, and there's about 6.5 million people in the country of Paraguay. Paraguay is one of the poorest countries of South America. Poor, many people don't want to visit the country. There's not a lot of tourist attraction, but there's souls, and these souls need to be saved. Paraguay is a very religious country, but lost. Paraguay is 95% Roman Catholic.
Este momento tiene que ser predicado el evangelio en
the gospel must be preached.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves in the night.
In the night.
There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save in the night.
We arrived in Paraguay in the year 2005, walking everywhere we go, working 8 to 10 hours a day, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, visiting house to house, families getting saved, people getting saved, many men and women come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, we would go back to their house and hold Bible studies, teaching them the way, the truth, and the life. When they get pretty serious, we look for a house to rent, we found a house, and we started the first independent Baptist church in Vieta.
Because 2 years ago, I was lost.
46 años.
46 years.
Estuve en tiniebla.
I was in darkness.
Yo era prácticamente alcohólico.
I was an alcoholic.
Y era mi camino era al infierno.
And I was on my way to hell.
That was the greatest decision he ever made in his life, was to receive Christ as a Savior. Now Jesus is his life, and he wants to follow Christ in believer's baptism to be obedient for Christ.
Y le doy gracias a Dios por haber conocido a nuestro pastor Miguel.
And I thank God because I met Pastor Mike.
Gracias a él.
Because through
him, me salvó del infierno que estuve yo antes.
I was saved from hell.
Si es que me moría 2 años atrás, me iba a ir al infierno.
If I died 2 years ago, I was going to go to hell.
As many men and women are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is growing daily. As the church grows, men are really getting serious about the gospel. As God blessed, the church grew. There was no room in the house church anymore. We needed to build a church.
It is God is busy and free. His work is not your own.
As we outgrew the house church, the Lord Jesus Christ allowed us to build a church in record time, a month and a half. During this time, we are preaching and teaching God's Word, repentance towards God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, teaching men how to rightly divide the Word of Truth. As we preach, many men come to the altar, women, giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to be serious about God and getting the sin out of their lives, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And many young people repent of their sins, repent of their fornication, their drunkenness, and their lifestyle and sin to live for God. These are some of the men and women in the church of Vieta.
Okay, hermanos, cantar algo de corazón.
Solo el poder de Dios.
Qué lindo.
Many men in our church felt the calling of God in their lives, I was compelled to start a men's Bible Institute training men for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the men that God has called to preach the gospel, his name is Catalino. He's also the deacon of our church in Vieta. Silviano Olmedo is another man who has received Jesus Christ and was baptized under our ministry. He is also in our Bible Institute. This is Nelson Jimenez, the brother who we have ordained as we're here in the States. He's taking care of the work there, preaching and teaching, and he is the pastor. We've trained Nelson Jimenez. He's received Christ and baptized under our ministry. He's taught youth meetings, preached on street corners with a megaphone, and preached on public buses.
Yo tengo ánimo.
I'm encouraged.
Corazón.
Heart.
Para estar,
to be,
predicando,
preaching,
para salvación,
for salvation,
con la Biblia,
with the Bible,
en la mano,
in my hand.
Ahora es tiempo cumplido.
The time has come.
Urgente para Pilar.
It's urgent for Pilar.
Amen. Amen.
We started our second work 4 hours from our church in Villeta. Some of the men from the Bible Institute and I took a survey trip to Pilar to see what God would have us to do. We preached on the street, witnessed for Jesus several hours a day, winning many souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. We then invited these new Christians back to our hotel for Bible studies. We were able to win the Korean owners of the hotel to Christ. Now we officially started a Bible-believing church in Pilar.
He is looking for someone who will give all to do His will, who leave all they've ever known to tell of His Son. He is looking for men today who will take His family far away, just to teach God's Word to those who have never heard. If He's calling you today, you must answer Him right away. He will not wait for long, and then He'll move on. Has He called you to Canada, Mexico, or even China? How about North Ireland? They could all use some good men. Or has He called you to stay and pray for the men He has brought your way?
I'm Jim Pallour, the director of the Victory Baptist Press here in Milton, Florida. The press is a ministry of the Victory Baptist Church where Brother Mike Wilps and I both are members. It's been my privilege to know Brother Wilps for about 4 years now. And one of the things that always concerned me about missionaries was that there wouldn't be soul winners here, but try to convince us they were going to be when they got on a foreign field somewhere. And I was very impressed with Brother Mike Wilps. He was a soul winner here. And then when he went to the country of Paraguay, all the reports came back about how many people were being saved there. They're great Christians that love the Lord. They've got a passion for souls. And I'd highly recommend that any person or any church wants to have a part in winning people to Jesus Christ and establishing New Testament independent Baptist churches in the country of Paraguay to pray and support the Wilps family. Thank you, and may God bless you.
He told us before all this that He wants to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ so they can be saved also. I just want to exhort you that thank you for all your prayers and support. This is some of the reasons, why we're here in Paraguay, that souls would come to Christ and that they would go out and preach the gospel also. I just encourage you, those Christians who are not witnessing and testifying for Jesus Christ, to please, I beg you, preach the gospel and give your heart to Christ.
Never done this before. I don't know if putting this in did something different, but it's never. Oh, there we go.
My name is Tim Fuller, pastor of Victory Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, the sending church of Mike and Marcy Wills. I've known Brother Mike for about 4 years now, and he has been such an encouragement and a blessing to me. His passion and his zeal for the Lord and for souls is contagious. The Lord is doing great things through his life in Paraguay. I am honored to know him. I am honored that he's out of our church. I'm honored that our church can have a part in sending him to the mission field. I know of no other couple that I have greater confidence in than Mike and Marcy Wilkes. I would be honored if you would have a part in their ministry. Thank you.
What's the worth of this whole world when compared to one lost soul? There's a reason to count the cost.
My name is Mike Wilps, and this is my family, my wife Marcelina, my daughter Delilah, my son Michael, and my daughter Charity. Pray for us. We are missionaries to Paraguay, South America. We've been there 3.5 years. We've started 2 churches and a Bible Institute. Paraguay is in this heart of South America. It's landlocked, there's no oceans, and it's surrounded by 3 countries, Brazil, Argentina, and Bolivia. Paraguay is the size of California, and there's about 6.5 million people in the country of Paraguay. Paraguay is one of the poorest countries of South America. Poor, many people don't want to visit the country. There's not a lot of tourist attraction, but there's souls, and these souls need to be saved. Paraguay is a very religious country, but lost. Paraguay is 95% Roman Catholic.
Este momento tiene que ser predicado el evangelio entre
la. The gospel must be preached.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves in the night, in the night. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save in the night.
We arrive in Paraguay in the year 2005, walking everywhere we go, working 8 to 10 hours a day, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, visiting house to house, families getting saved, people getting saved, many men and women come to the Lord Jesus Christ. The people who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, we would go back to their house and hold Bible studies, teaching them the way, the truth, and the life. When they get pretty serious, we look for a house to rent, we found a house, and we started the first independent Baptist church in Villeta.
Because 2 years ago, I was lost.
46 años.
46 years.
Estuve en tiniebla.
I was in darkness.
Yo era prácticamente alcohólico.
I was an alcoholic.
Y era mi camino era al infierno.
And I was on my way to hell.
That was the greatest decision he ever made in his life, was to receive Christ as a Savior. Now Jesus is his life, and he wants to follow Christ in believers' baptism to be obedient for Christ.
Y le doy gracias a Dios por haber conocido a nuestro pastor Miguel.
And I thank God because I met Pastor Mike.
Gracias a él.
Because through
me salvó
him,
del infierno que estuve yo
I
antes.
I was saved from hell.
Si es que me moría 2 años atrás, me iba a ir al infierno.
If I died 2 years ago, I was going to go to hell.
As many men and women are receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, the church is growing daily. As the church grows, men are really getting serious about the gospel. As God blessed, the church grew. There was no room in the house church anymore. We needed to build a church. As we outgrew the house church, the Lord Jesus Christ allowed us to build a church in record time, a month and a half. During this time, we are preaching and teaching God's Word, repentance towards God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, teaching men how to rightly divide the Word of truth. As we preach, many men come to the altar, women, giving their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, wanting to be serious about God and getting the sin out of their lives, growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And many young people repent of their sins, repent of their fornication, their drunkenness, and their lifestyle and sin to live for God. These are some of the men and women in the church of Villeta.
Okay, hermanos, cantar algo de corazón.
solo el poder de Dios.
Qué lindo.
After many men in our church felt the calling of God in their lives, I was compelled to start Men's Bible Institute, training men for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the men that God has called to preach the gospel, his name is Catalino. He's also the deacon of our church in Villeta. Silviano Ormelo is another man who has received Jesus Christ and was baptized under our ministry. He is also in our Bible Institute. This is Nelson Jimenez, the brother who we have ordained as we're here in the States. He is taking care of the work there, preaching and teaching, and he is the pastor. We've trained Nelson Jimenez. He's received Christ and baptized under our ministry. He's taught youth meetings, preached on street corners with a megaphone, and preached on public buses.
Yo tengo ánimo.
I'm encouraged.
Corazón.
Heart.
Para estar,
to be,
predicando,
preaching,
para salvación,
for salvation,
con la Biblia,
with the Bible,
en la mano,
in my hand.
Ahora es tiempo cumplido.
The time has come.
Urgente para Pilar.
It's urgent for Pilar.
Amen.
Amen.
We started our second work 4 hours from our church in Villeta. Some of the men from the Bible Institute and I took a survey trip to Pilar to see what God would have us to do. We preached on the street, witnessed for Jesus several hours a day, winning many souls to the Lord Jesus Christ. We then invited these new Christians back to our hotel for Bible studies. We were able to win the Korean owners of the hotel to Christ. Now we officially started a Bible-believing church in Pilar.
He's looking for someone who will give all to do His will, who leave all they've ever known to tell of His Son. He is looking for men today who will take His family far away, just to teach God's word to those who have never heard. If He's calling you today, you must answer Him right away. He will not wait for long, and then He'll move on. Has He called you to Canada, Mexico, or even China? How about North Ireland? They could all use some good men. Or has He called you to stay and pray for the men He has brought your way? We all
Jim Fallure, the director of the Victory Baptist Press here in Milton, Florida. The press is a ministry of the Victory Baptist Church where Brother Mike Wilps and I both are members. It's been my privilege to know Brother Wilps for about 4 years now. And one of the things that always concerned me about missionaries was the that there wouldn't be soul winners here to try to convince us there were going to be when they got on a foreign field somewhere. And I was very impressed with Brother Mike Wilkes. He was a soul winner here. And then when he went to the country of Paraguay, all the reports came back about how many people were being saved there. They're great Christians. They love the Lord. They've got a passion for souls. And I'd highly recommend that any person or any church wants to have a part in winning people to Jesus Christ and establishing New Testament independent Baptist churches in the country of Paraguay to pray and support the Wilkes family. Thank you, and may God bless you.
He told us before all this that he wants to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ so they can be saved also. I just want to exhort you to thank you for all your prayers and support. This is some of the reasons. The reason why we're here in Paraguay is that souls become the Christ and that they would go out and preach the gospel also. I just encourage you, those Christians who are not witnessing and testifying for Jesus Christ, to please, I beg you, preach the gospel and give your heart to Christ. See you soon.
Powerful. I can't explain. It was so... How can you be passed from death unto life and nothing happen? How can the Son of God, a real person, Jesus Christ, the Savior, move in, save you, and nothing? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. God knows. I don't understand. How I was going to hell, a child of the devil, one minute, and now the child of the King the next minute. How are you going to be different? How are you going to be seen? How are you just going to walk? Yeah, sure. Chewing bubble gum like nothing. Like, yeah, it's nothing. I prayed a prayer. I don't know. I don't believe. I don't understand. I don't know. I don't understand. But the day I came to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, bam, came into me. The Son of God came and my soul was set free, tears streaming down my face. And I knew. I didn't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I had no idea. I picked my teacher up and said, thank you so much. And I ran to track practice. I had track practice. I'm running and I'm telling you, I felt like I was floating. I don't know. I was just so full of joy unspeakable. I was just passed from death unto life, saved, born again. I was so excited. I thought, no one knows this. I thought, no one knows this. I got to tell everyone about Jesus. You ever do that? Now, the first day I got saved. Listen, this is the first day I got saved. And I ran down the street. I had a running track, but I'm running. And you know what? I'm not kidding. I've heard preachers say this, but I mean this. I saw the trees crispier. The sun was shinier. It was like scales were falling off my eyes. I don't know. So I was born anew. Born again, brother, by the Spirit of God. Now listen to this. This is 10 minutes after I get saved. 10 minutes after I came to Jesus. What Bible do you know? I don't know anything. I know about the Ten Commandments because of the movie. What do you know? I know this. What do you know? I know baptism. I know confess my sins to a priest. I don't know. What do you know about the Bible? I don't know, but I knew Jesus saved me. I knew the gospel. You know, you can't believe in something you don't know about. That's what I understand. How do you get saved and you don't know the gospel? Well, you don't have to know in and out. I'm not saying you have to know the doctrines of the Bible and all that stuff, but, I mean, you know how you got saved. You can't believe something you don't know about. Do you understand? It's that simple. It's so logical. So I heard the gospel. I heard it. I trusted it. I believed it, received it, changed my life immediately. Saved, forgiven, all my sins gone. Bam, when I die, a direct line with the Father now. And I didn't just know Jesus here. I have Jesus here, and boy, did I know it. And I was running down the street, and the first person I saw was the captain of the football team named Brian O'Shea. First person I saw. This is 10 minutes after my salvation. I saw Brian, the captain of the football team. I shook him. I remember grabbing him. I said, Brian, you understand? Did you know we were all going to hell? We're all sinners. Like, whoa, my what? I said, we're all sinners and we're going to hell, but Jesus came to save us. And I'm like in his face, like a nut. My eyes are like bulging out like this. I probably ran too, but I was so excited. And I said, you don't understand? I was going to hell. Brian, I was going to hell. Jesus saved me and you could be saved too. Whoa, Mike, I'm not ready for this. And for about 2 to 3 months straight, nonstop, knowing no Bible, only the gospel, I went and told everyone about Jesus. You know that? I don't understand this. Every time someone in the Bible that got saved or came to Jesus talked about Jesus, even when Jesus saved a blind man, a lame man, even when they were saved, they came to Christ or they were healed or they were touched by the Master's hand, every single time, listen, Jesus himself at some time said, don't tell anyone, just go to the priest. They were like, okay, and they were like, Jesus, Jesus, they couldn't keep their mouth shut, isn't that true? You can't keep your mouth shut when Jesus comes in and does something great in you. Now look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 19.
It's a well-known verse, and there's so much to say about this. Verses 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Now, when the Bible says they were fishers, it means their livelihood. For example, some of you are mechanics, for he was a mechanic. What that means is they weren't disciples at the time. They weren't apostles at the time. They actually had jobs, a livelihood, bills, probably, or whatever paying that taxes to the government. I don't know. We know Peter had a wife because he had a mother-in-law. And so they were fishers, meaning they worked for a living. Now look at this. They had jobs just like you. They had a life just like you. They believed about God, of course, at this time. They believed in the law and they knew about God. They were Jews. They believed, all Jews believed God at that time. Now, look at this. And he said unto them, Jesus is talking, follow me and I will make, I like that word, make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. You know why some of you can't follow him? Because you haven't left your net. And your net is a picture of what your heart is attached to. Now, for these men, their nets was their livelihood. It was their life. It was their business, how they made money, how they supported their family. They were probably into their job pretty heavily. Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. And they had a choice. They didn't have to follow him. But in order to follow Jesus, what did they have to do? Drop their nets and follow him. You know, your net... And following Jesus doesn't literally have to mean your location. Ubicación, we say in Spanish. Your location. Meaning you don't have to literally follow Jesus like this everywhere. Physically, which I would like to do that too. But it's your heart. Inwardly. And some of you right now cannot follow the Lord because you have so much in your net and you don't want to drop it. What is your heart attached to this morning that is hindering you from following Jesus? Another good statement about this verse, he said, follow me. Now, you don't have to, but if you like to, follow me. I want you to. It's a command. Follow me, but I won't make you. Follow me, and what will happen if you follow me? I will make you a fisher of men. What if I want my son Michael, what if I want him to come to the pulpit right now? And I said, come to the pulpit. And he's a little hesitant. He's like, I said, no, I'm going to make you. I said, come. I go back there, pick my son up, and put him in the pulpit. I made him come to the pulpit. Is that true? I forced him, made him, transformed him, guided him. My will for him was to be here. And it was, and I was basically Jesus saying, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. I'm a preacher, and brethren, I see people, I'm following Jesus. Why? Because you go to church. The Catholics go to church. The Mormons go to church. Jehovah's Witnesses go to church. Now, it's not church, but they go. Right? So just because you come to church Wednesday and Sunday and do your thing, praise God, and you should come to church, that doesn't mean you're following Jesus. No. Anyone can go to church. For example, just because you go to church don't make you a Christian. Just because if you walk into a car parking lot or a car garage, doesn't make you a car. Right? Right? Now think about that. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. I am convinced in the Bible every single man that's truly gave their heart to Christ after salvation, that's what I'm talking about, after salvation, surrendered, I don't know, whatever you want, became a fisher of men. Whether here in your town, whether overseas, whether in this church. Now, I have a question. If so many people are getting saved and we have so many people, look at all these members in the church. Praise the Lord, brother. Are you a fisher of men? I'm not saying you have to be an evangelist or a missionary to Paraguay. Are you a fisher of men? I believe some of you aren't. I have a message, and I'm going to go real fast. Normally, I preach five reasons. I'm going to preach three. Three reasons why men are not fishers of men. Or three reasons in the Word of God why men or women are not testifying or witnessing for our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, it's powerful. It's powerful, isn't it? Look with me in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 I call is the born again chapter. Amen. I love it. Nicodemus, an old religious, but lost. An old Jew who believed in God and the law, but was going straight to hell. if he didn't come to Jesus from his heart, believing on him. Now, in John chapter 3, we know the story. Religious but lost, a man, religious ruler, a Pharisee, came to Jesus and didn't understand about the new birth. Didn't understand. He knew all about God in his mind, but he didn't know about God in his heart. Verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verse 11 is point number one. Verily, Jesus is speaking, the Son of God. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. What Jesus is saying is, we speak that we do know and testify we have seen. You know why many people can't talk about Jesus from their heart? Because you can't talk about someone you don't know. Now think about that. If I said, ladies and gentlemen, right now we're having testimony night, I'd like to hear everyone's testimony, how you came to the saving knowledge, the saving power of Jesus Christ. And we invited every one of you up, children, women, doesn't matter who. And they all came up. You know what sometimes we'd hear, preacher? I know this fact. One day a preacher came by or somebody came by and I prayed a prayer and then I'm in the church. And they sit down. That's all they could say. That's all you could say? You mean the Son of God came in your life, in your heart, and you're born again, and that's all you can say. You prayed a prayer one day. You could pray a prayer right to hell. A prayer is just a means. A prayer is just helping us to express how to come to Jesus. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, name of the Lord, shall be saved. But just praying a prayer, one, two, three, pray a prayer, doesn't mean I'm saved, right? For with the heart man believeth in the righteousness. I've seen so many people that can't witness, and they never win a soul to Jesus, even though Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you, transform you. My will for you is a fisher of men. And I say to myself, why, Lord? You don't have to be a great soul winner. You don't have to be the Apostle Paul or going out like this. But trying to see souls get saved, a burden, a care about souls getting saved. Being able to tell someone about Jesus. You know what a lot of people do? A lot of people have intellectual faith. Intellectual faith is you. Everything you see on page, you believe. Everything you see, I believe it. It's the Word of God, I believe it. But the belief you have here is not here in your own life. That's intellectual faith. Did you know there's emotional faith? Oh yeah, for the charismatics and the Pentecostals, for all that emotional faith. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. Trembling is part of emotional. You can tremble, have an experience, fear, and not be saved, brother. You must be born again. How many times I've gone up to people in church, oh, tell me about how you got saved. Oh, I've been saved many years ago. And they just want to change the subject. Well, yeah, well, tell me. I want to hear, you know, it's exciting. Tell me how you got saved, born again, brother. Well, it was 20 years ago or 5 years ago, 10 years ago. I'm preaching again, I prayed a prayer and I'm in the church. And yeah, you know, I've been... You think with that testimony, people are going to get saved? The woman at the well dropped her pots and with tears in her eyes ran, come see a man that's told me all things. Isn't that true? Many people talk about Jesus as a matter of fact. Because it's true, it's a fact. It's a historical fact, and I believe in this fact. But the fact that they believe is not true in their own heart. It's what about Abraham Lincoln? I can right now give you a report. Abraham Lincoln was a president of the United States. He was born in a log cabin. He did this, this. And you would hear it as a matter of fact, oh yes, it's true. But what if I spent time with Abraham Lincoln personally, drank coffee with him, put my arm around him, and heard about his desires? When I speak about him, there'll be a glow, a certain vision, or a certain presence, or I would be able to say some things about Abraham Lincoln that's so personal that you'd be convinced that I know him. That's a good point, isn't it, sister? Amen. Isn't that true? And you think you can be a soul winner telling others about Jesus with no testimony? It's impossible. You say, but not all the same way. Brother, we are all the saved the same way. We're all sinners going to hell. We need Jesus. So what do you have to say? You know what the problem is? You ever see when in the Bible, look where the Pharisees came and a woman came and the woman was broken and came to Jesus' feet and her tears were streaming down her face and hitting Jesus' feet, and she got her hairs and started wiping his feet, looking at his eyes. And the Pharisees were like, But in their heart they murmured, if he was a prophet, if he would know what manner of woman this is. Remember that? What did Jesus say? So I'm going to have someone say,
He that is forgiven much loveth much. He that is forgiven little loveth little. I've heard a lot of people say, when you're out in drugs and you're a prostitute and you're so wicked, these people will love Jesus more, because when you're saved as a child or when you're saved as a, you know, moral person, they'll love Jesus less. I don't believe a word of it. You say, well, what does it mean? What Jesus was saying is, Simon, you Pharisee, in your heart, you were forgiven little.
Yes.
Do you see that now? You think Jesus is... I thought that little sins are equal to big sins. Is that true? So, oh, okay. So what Jesus is saying is basically, listen, you're just as wicked as this woman. You're just as a sinner, but you don't see that. No one can come to the gospel. No one comes to Jesus without recognizing they're a sinner, truly, before God, and wanting a Savior. If you were never going to hell, why do you need Jesus? I have a question right now. I want to make you raise your hand. If there was a time, and don't just raise your hand because somebody else is. Be honest from your heart. Just be sincere. Was there ever a time in your life, personally, that you knew for a fact if you would have died, you would have went straight to hell? Raise your hand. Okay? Thank you. Not everyone could raise their hand. If you were never going to hell, why do you need Jesus? Why do you need a Savior? In order to be saved, you have to be opposite lost, right? I once was lost, but now I'm found. When were you lost? Many people can't talk about something they don't know. That's number one. Do you know Jesus? Can you talk about Jesus to someone? Ah, I'm saved, brother. I don't know much. I don't know anything. And you know, instead of the gospel tract. Now, first of all, I like the gospel tracts. We got to give out the gospel tracts. But what about soul winning? He that confesses me before men, I will confess him to my Father which is in heaven. Okay? Now watch this. Just going to someone and not even saying, you, are you saved? Well, who are you? Why don't you say you're saved first? Why don't you go to a person first and say, brother, how you doing? I just want to let you know I'm a Christian and I was going to hell and now I'm going to heaven. Jesus came to my heart and saved me and now I'm forgiven. I'm going to heaven and I'd like you to be saved too. Well, that's powerful. Because you know what? No one can deny what happened to me. A personal testimony, no one can deny it. Brother, sister, do you have a personal testimony when Jesus came in? Or do you just remember a time you prayed a prayer and ever since then there was no love, no passion for Christ? Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. Why aren't men and women testifying and talking about Jesus? Because you can't talk about someone you don't know from your heart. Number two, in Luke chapter 10, nothing deep tonight, or this morning, just practical from the heart. Luke, yeah, you got it right. Luke chapter 10, verses 27. Three reasons why men do not testify or talk about with passion and love, convincing others about Jesus Christ. Number one, you can't talk about someone you don't know. Number two. Verse 27, and he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And sometimes we fail. Is that true? And with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and we fail. Sometimes we're weak, aren't we? And with all thy mind. Sometimes our mind's filled with wicked things, and distractions. But look at this. And thy neighbor as thyself. You know why men don't witness for Jesus? You won't love your neighbor if you don't love God. You see souls as numbers. But the wicked man in the street, you really don't like. And naturally, we don't. The man with the tattoos and the earrings all over him, you think he's a loser and a disaster. And he is, but I love him. Some of you don't love him. Talk bad about him, put you down. I want to save him. I want to win him to Jesus. I want him to be my best friend. I've learned every time my heart is close to God, I love people more. I can't explain it. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? You just can't explain it. Jesus said, is basically saying, if you love me, you'll love your neighbor. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. And the reason why men and women are not testifying for Jesus Christ is they're not in love with Jesus. Now, let's be honest. You talk about what you love. We all do. I do too. And it's okay. I'm not saying if you talk about anything else, you're not right. No, I do. I love sports. I love football.
I talk about it. I can talk to you right now about the Eagles, the Giants. I can talk about Jets. I can talk about anything. And I can talk about it right now. Baseball, the Mets and Yankees game. Someone got defrauded with a foul. I don't know what happened. No, she says, no, that was real. But all I can tell you is I just saw it and someone lost. I can talk about it. Let's talk about it. Talk about coffee. Talk about food. Brother can talk about Manhattan, some of the sites. Well, what do you love about electronics? Stock market? What do you like? What do you love to talk about? No, honestly, I mean, this is not a trick. We talk about what we love. Isn't that true? If you love Jesus, why can't you talk about him? I've met Christians where I talk about Jesus, about saving, and they go, that's nice, that's nice. And they can't talk and they want to leave. There's people in a church like that, isn't there? What if I sat next to you right now and just not thinking, no motive, not to put you down, but just, Jesus is so good. And if I want to talk about Jesus and fellowship, and you can't, you don't know how to fellowship about Jesus. Why? That's all I'm asking. Why? Number two. You talk about what you love. When you're in love with someone, you'll talk about them. When you're in love with a thing, you'll talk about it. You think some of us have been fighting and arguing and contentions and worrying about so much things, we should just get back and be in love with Jesus? I'm a man. Would I kiss a man? Well, it depends. I mean, I had an Argentinian cop, 6'5". I was in Buenos Aires, and I wanted him to Jesus. He kissed me right on the forehead. It was okay. Can't explain it. It was weird. I'm not used to that. But he was showing me he loved me, and that's their culture, and it was okay. But normally, I just wouldn't go up and give a kiss to a man on the lips, or I just wouldn't normally do that, right? I mean, we're men. We don't do that. The women do that, but the men, we just, hey, man, brother, and the hug, and amen. I'd kiss Jesus. I would. I'd kiss his feet. Would you? Would you? I would too. You think sometimes we get caught up with so many things we just forget about loving him? You think? You think sometimes we get caught up in so many things but Jesus? I want to love Jesus. I want to be in love with him. Which one are you? Are you the Mary or the Martha? Martha's always busy. Mary was staring at Jesus, admiring him, loving him. I'm in love with a man. That's why we do what we do, is we love him. Don't you naturally talk about someone you love, or at least can? I know sometimes we backslide and things get in the way. But I hear preachers say, oh, he's just backsliding. Brother, you have to front slide before you backslide. Well, he's just backslid and he never front slid. Isn't that true? I wonder about that. Brother, sister, how's your heart for Jesus? That's real simple. You love him. I do. Do you really love him? You can't love someone that never did anything for you. And the love you had for him, if it's just intellectual, it will show forth in your life. I have a question for you. Remember the time where you really didn't know about Jesus? You heard about him, you believed him, but you were lost and you know it. You were on your way to hell. You were without God. And one day, the Holy Spirit, Jesus, my sweet Jesus, came in. Remember that? Do you remember the day? Don't you think we could talk about it? To our family, to sinners, to the brethren, just talk about Jesus. I believe this, that a lot of churches are fighting and arguing all this because they're too busy of fighting inside or not winning souls outside. I believe it. When you're involved about God's work, you don't have time for this. You just love everyone. I mean it, brother. Let me tell you something. Luke 15, Jesus, or Luke 10, let's listen. Luke 15, that's what it is. Jesus was with 99. And he left the 99 for one. Is that true? One sinner? You know what Jesus is saying? Fellowship is good. But winning a soul to Jesus is better. Fellowship and always being with the brethren and hanging out and buddy, buddy, we're all hanging out is good. But soul winning is better. You know that, right? And the day this church loses its vision for souls individually, this church will die. You know that, right? Let's be honest. I want to ask another question. Do you remember when a new couple comes in? Whether a man single, doesn't matter, child or a woman, a family comes in. They come in to visit first time, and they come in, they're visiting, and the preacher preaches, and they walk down the aisle or something, they raise their hand, and they want to get saved. And they accept Christ as their Savior. And you're all excited to get saved. And afterwards, they start coming Wednesday. And you guys are all excited. You just, God's in the place. You're excited. There's an energy. There's a life. You can't explain it. There's souls getting saved, weeping for Jesus. It's all about Jesus again. And lives being changed. And marriages come together. And life. New birth. And everyone feels good. Isn't it true? You're just excited. You can't explain it. And you see the church grow, and you're like, man, I love this place. God is here. Isn't that true? You're excited. Remember that? Your focus was Jesus and the gospel. The devil wants to use brethren. The devil wants to use things and circumstances to always take your heart and love away from Jesus and focus on things and worldly things. Then become stripes in this. And he said this, and I said this. And no one's big enough to say, I'm sorry. I've seen it more and more that two brethren in the church will have a contention between each other. And you know what? I want to give you a story. Do I have time to give a story? Yeah. It's a true story. In Pensacola, Florida, we had our house. In front of me was a cop. He was a sergeant. That's just like here. Where? Right in front of my house. Police car parked out all the time. His name was Tom. But Tom, I don't know if he's brother, but Tom. We became friends just as neighbors, and we'd help each other. And, you know, when a hurricane came, we went into his mobile home, and we went to Jacksonville to dodge it as a family, and we became friends. They say they were Christians, but I, looking back, I don't think they were. More like Southern Baptist, more like they were raised believing Jesus, they're good old boys, but the new birth, the conversion, the conviction, they never had that. There was, by the fruits you shall know them, there was never, never a time that they really loved Jesus. Here, but they never had it here. Testimony was, I prayed a prayer one day. That's all they had. But they were good folk. And something happened, and I did something, not necessarily wrong, but something that he wouldn't have done. He would have handled a different way. So he was mad at me because I did something, and it mad at him, and I don't know what happened, but it caused some kind of contention and friction. And the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And there was some kind of contention between us, and I knew it was there, he knew it was there, and I remember in the morning we wouldn't even wave to each other, and it was thick. And I hated it. It ached at my, it hurt me. Inside, I try to be like tough, but inside, I want to cry and run. It was just disgusting. It was dirty. It was, you know, you ever feel that? There's just something here, and you're just the presence of the person. There's a contention, you know, and no one's saying nothing to each other, and it just hurts, and you can't explain it. So this went on for months. Never talked. I'd wake up in the morning, 6 o'clock, go to work. He'd wake up, go to work, and we look at each other, and we just have it there and try to ignore it like nothing happens. But it's still there. You can't ignore it. And one day I was working in the truck, and I was repenting and confessing, and I was just giving Christ my heart, and I just, tears were flowing, and victory was in my life, and I just wanted to please Him in all things. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. I was witnessing, excited. Man, full of joy and love and God, really. And I remember in my truck here in fellowship with the Lord and playing hymns and music. And Brandon, it was like God was sitting next to me on the seat and we were just fellowshipping. It was so sweet. I just want to be with Him now. You just want to just curl up. You ever had that relationship with Jesus? He's sweet. I love Jesus. And at that moment, as I wanted to get the next step closer to God in my heart, still small voice said, what about Tom? And I said, yeah, what about him? He's mad at me. I didn't do anything wrong. He's mad at me. He's a contention, but I didn't do anything. And I said, yeah, but, and I knew. In order for me to continue to have God's acceptance, not for salvation, for fellowship, for as a relationship, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be free, peace with all men and God, a clean conscience, and allow the power of God to work in my life again, the tears flow again, and I can't explain it. You have to know it. That's spiritual. I can't explain it to you. I could read some verses, but you'd have to know what I'm talking about. I knew that I had to make this right. I had to. I said, okay, I'll talk to him. Well, what do you mean? It's his fault. He should come to me. He should say sorry to me because it's his fault. There's contentious. I didn't do anything. No, that's flesh. That's wicked. That's carnal. That's pride. And it's wrong. So I remember going to his house. Right after work. I couldn't. Went to his house. Tom comes out the door. Yeah? I said, Tom, can I speak to you for a minute? He said, yeah, Mike. What? You get to tell. So listen, I just want to tell you, I'm a Christian, and I love you. Oh, yeah, did I tell him that? Yes, I did. If you can't tell a man you love him, you got problems. You don't know nothing about winning souls to Jesus. I must decrease that he must increase. It's not about you, it's about others. And I said, I love you, Tom, and there's something between us. And I, listen, I'm sorry. If I did anything, whatever it is, to offend you, to hurt you, will you please forgive me? And I was sincere about it. I didn't say, you, Tom. No, me. I came to him, humbled myself. Even if he was 100% wrong, I don't care. To win him and the power of Christ, I'll do it. Amen. And I went to him and I said, I'm sorry if I did anything. His rough old face turned like an angel. Looked down and looked back, he said. It was so, no man had ever done that to him. In the world, it's a bunch of pride and contentions and strife. That's not the way of Jesus. It's not the way of Jesus. It's not Christian. That's flesh, carnal. Man, no, that's carnal, brother. It's not right. The Holy Spirit's not going to bless. It's not. It's not. I don't care. You can hide it, learn more Bible, win more souls. You're still not going to be right with Jesus until you get that right. I've learned that. I've learned that in my own walk. You've got to get things right. You've got to deal with things. And he said this. I'm like, no. I've never seen that man, hard face. Forgive me. I was wrong. And we hugged each other and restored fellowship. Whenever I called and said, hey, Mike, how you doing? You know what he's saying? To his wife? His wife told me. That Mike, our neighbor, he loves Jesus. He's a real Christian. What about you? So proud and you always have to be right and you have to be the one in the spiritual. No. It's not about you. It's about him. The third reason, and we're done, why men do not witness or testify for Jesus Christ. Number one, you can't talk about someone you don't know from your heart. Number two, you talk about what you love. And many men don't love Jesus. Number three, and I'm done. Look with me in Psalm 51. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it. If you'll go in Jesus' name. In the harvest field so ripen, there's a work for all to do. Hark the voice, for God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it. If you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen, brother. Forget the fighting and the strife. Just come to Jesus. He'll wash you white as snow. Peace with God and man. And the power of his resurrection. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. That's following Jesus from your heart, brother. In all aspects. In your life. Psalm 51. His heart went away, slowly, slowly in the world. Women and sin, and he sinned a great deal. And the Bible says, then verse 9, David said, hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. It's confession, it's repentance. It's a picture of a Christian restoring fellowship and a relationship back with God. In 2 Chronicles 25, verse 1 and 2, King Amaziah did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Fellowship is with the heart. Create in me a clean heart, because my heart's now bad. My heart is not clean. I need to be created a clean heart. O God, and renew. To renew is to make something new again. It's getting old. My spirit's getting a little bitter, nasty, complacent, religious. I recognize it. Oh God, renew a right spirit, a Christ-like spirit in me. Restore. Now, to restore something is you have to replace something that was there and restore. Now it's not. To restore is to replace something that was there, now it's not. Now look at this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. What he's basically saying is, I used to be excited. I had joy. Now I don't. I'm not as excited as before. I'm not happy about my salvation before. Of course, in my mind, I know. But I just not, like before, I just not excited. I don't have this connection with my heart. I'm not into it anymore. I'm doing right. I'm going through the motions. I'm doing what's right, and I'm obeying. But you can obey and not be happy. I've heard that, yeah. Doing right, but not with a perfect heart. That's right. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. In verse 13. Now, if David's joy of his of salvation, of God in his life, comes back, what will happen according to the Bible? Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. You know why a lot of people don't witness for Jesus? Because they're not excited about their salvation. What's to talk about? You don't want to talk to a sinner about it. You're not excited about it yourself. So how someone that you want to be saved, you're not even excited about it. How are you going to want him to get excited about salvation if you're not even excited about salvation? Is that true? And David is saying that I had joy, now I don't. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And if this joy comes back, if my heart gets right with God, if I repent and confess and sin and come clean and ask my brother for forgiveness and do what the Holy Spirit and put my pride down, if I just do right to be have a clean heart with God and man, I confess and do right, and the joy of my salvation or of his salvation is restored unto me, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Number three, do you know why men are not witnessing and testifying for Jesus Christ? Because they lost the joy of their salvation. They're just not excited anymore. Isn't that true, brother? Has anyone here lost their joy? Has anyone here really putting too much things above Jesus and the sweet love like they had once before is not there? Maybe there's too much world or too much busyness or too much contention, too much gossip, too many things are getting in the way, but just coming to Jesus and Him, it's not about Him anymore. In your mind, in your mouth it is, but in your heart it's not. Are you like that? Or maybe you're like the first man, that you really can't talk about Jesus because all you did was pray a prayer, but you don't really know Jesus, and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die, you'd go to heaven. You know about Jesus in your mind, but you don't have Jesus in your heart. Why don't we pray right now together? And as our eyes are closed and our head is bowed, let's have some questions for you. I guess you could just pray in your seat, or I don't know what you do here. So I want to ask a question. Why aren't you talking about Jesus? Maybe you can't really talk about it with passion because you don't know Him. You know about Him. You believe all about it. But you don't know Him in your own heart. Is there ever a time in your life where you came to Jesus Christ with all of your heart, believing on Him, and He came in, and the Son of God came in and took your sin away? Christian, was there a time in your life you were excited, tears, emotional? You don't have to be emotional, I'm not saying that, but what I'm trying to say is you were excited, zealous, that's a command, that's not a personality, fervent about the things of God, and now you're not really, and you see your heart and your life going around the wrong path. Christian, is there something in your life that you need to get right with someone? Someone here, maybe contentions are building up. Why don't you put the pride down and come? Why don't you put the pride down and restore the fellowship with God and man? Oh, it's not worth it. Pride will destroy. Or you like the third one? You're just not right. If someone is here this morning and say, "Preacher, I know about Jesus and I believe that He exists and He died on the cross, but I've never personally made Him my Savior. I've never truly been born again. And I don't know Jesus personally, but I want to know Jesus. I want my sins gone and the pride and the unforgiveness. Oh, God, I need Jesus. And I want to go to heaven when I die. And I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven, but I want to be clean. I want to be saved, and I want to trust Jesus Christ to save me. Is there someone here this morning? Just raise your hand. Just put it back down. Just raise it up. Put it back down and say, preacher, pray for me. I want Jesus as my Savior. Okay, I see one. Is there someone else? Don't be embarrassed. I just saw one man. Is there someone else that could say, I want to be saved. I want Jesus Christ to come into me and be real in me. And I want to be saved. Is there someone else? You just lift up your hands real quick and put it back down. Okay? Is there someone here that's a Christian that's your heart's not really like it used to be with Jesus? Maybe it's like David. In the beginning, when you were young with the Lord, you were excited and wanted to please Him. And when you sinned, you'd confess. And you just wanted to be right with Jesus. But lately, you've let too much world and too many things come in. And you're not really excited. And you know your heart's gone. If you're like that, why don't you just raise your hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Okay. Pray for me. Oh, I want sweet Jesus in my life again. I want to walk with the King like before. I want it new and afresh. Amen, brother. Before I give an invitation to the Christian, someone plays, if someone can play something softly. The brother who raised their hand, it's not a pressure, this is not, there's no business here. It's just the Lord's business. And don't be nervous. You say, but my family, my wife, my friends, people are looking at me, there's people all over. Would you go to hell because of what people think? A real man will come to Jesus from their heart and be saved. Brother that raised their hand, why don't you leave your seat right now and pastor will come and lead you out of the Bible how to be saved. Okay. Amen. Is there anyone that wants to be saved and come to Jesus? Amen. Thank you for everything. I want to turn it over to the pastor.
Let's just keep our heads bowed for just a moment. And I know there were a number of hands raised this morning. If you're saved and the Spirit of God spoke to you through that message, it was just clear and plain this morning. All the things that get in the way of our fellowship with Christ, the things that get in the way of just being a testimony and a witness, the things that we allow to get in the way. The Lord doesn't put roadblocks in our way. We do that ourselves. We create the problems. But why don't we, before we leave this room, I know there's food waiting, there's fellowship waiting, but this was the time that God appointed for us to face the Scriptures, to hear the Spirit of God, and to respond. So let's not leave this room until things are made right. Maybe it's something just between you and God this morning. Nobody else needs to know about it, something personal, something in your heart, the Holy Spirit shown it to you this morning. Maybe it's just that lack of fellowship with the Lord, some sin in your life, something that it's not right, it's not shouldn't be there. You know it, God knows it. Before we leave this room, would you make it right with Him? Maybe the problem is an issue between you and some other brother or sister in Christ. Would you just determine right now in your heart that before our time of fellowship is over, maybe when we say amen and we start outside, right now this morning is the time to make it right with that brother. Maybe you need to go to them. Maybe a sister in Christ. Something that's not right. Could be between a husband and wife here. Before you leave this room, before we go on to other things, would you find some quiet corner here, find a seat somewhere, and sit down with that person and make it right between you and them. Be reconciled to a brother or sister in Christ. Let the Spirit of God have His way with you this morning. Let's just determine that we're going to respond to what the Spirit of the Lord says to us today. And Christian, how many of us, and I'm speaking of me too, how many of us, be honest this morning, how many of us know exactly what that preacher is talking about? How many times have we let just stuff, the world, the junk, the busyness, the garbage, keep us from talking about our Savior? We're probably every single one of us in this room guilty. Every one of us. And let's not just say, yeah, that was good. That message was right. Boy, I need that. No, how about let's get it right this morning? How about let's just get it right this morning? How about we just have some repentance? How about we have some confession? How about we just get it right with God? I saw hands go up, but let me see one more time. If that's you this morning, you'd say, I know I'm saved, and I know my heart is not the way it should be between me and my Savior. I know I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, but my heart's not right between me and my Lord. And I want to, by God's grace, before I leave this room this morning, I want to be clean, I want to be right with God, I want to be back in fellowship with the Lord. Here's my hand, pray for me this morning. Is there anyone like that? Okay, hands all over the place. Hands all over the place. Now listen, I'm not writing any names down. But you can be sure those names are written down in heaven. Now, are you going to do something about it? Will you make it right this morning? Will you get clean this morning? Can we just walk out of this room in fellowship with God? If there's things not right, then you probably came in with that. You came in that way. Don't go out that way. Let's not go out that door that way. Let's settle it. This isn't a 2-hour process. This is a matter of moments, maybe a matter of seconds. Fellowship can be restored. Sin can be cleansed. Your conscience can be clear. You can be walking with God again. What an amazing God. What grace we have from God. That this doesn't take a 6-month class to get right with the Lord. My hands went up all over this place this morning. I'm not going to ask you to get up and come down here, but I'm asking you in Jesus' name, right there where you are, will you deal with this with the Lord? Will you make it right with God? Take a moment and talk to the Lord right now. Don't persist. Don't persist in your stubbornness. And if it's neglect, if it's your trying to shut God out of your thoughts right now and hoping this is over soon, let me out of here. Don't resist Him. Don't resist the Lord to that point of chastening in your life where God chastens you. Let's settle it now. And I don't know if I missed it. Maybe I don't remember seeing the hand of that person who raised their hand about salvation. But before we're dismissed, is there someone here that needs to be saved? You say, I don't know Jesus in my life. I want to be sure I'm saved. Can we pray for you this morning? Was there someone like that? I didn't see that hand, but it's just me. I may have overlooked you. Is there someone here? Just slip your hand up. Put it right back down. Say, I know I need to be saved. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. That's all we want to do right now. Could we pray for you this morning? Is there someone like that here? Slip that hand up and put it right back down. Don't be embarrassed. We're not trying to trick you into something. If God spoke to your heart this morning, He intends to save you this morning. Is that you today? Would you lift your hand and put it right back down? All right. Our Father, Lord God, we thank You for the message this morning. We thank You so much, Lord, for our brother here, for the work that You're doing in his life and in his ministry. Father, we've been blessed this morning by this message. Thank You, Lord, for being so good to our church today. Just a reminder to my own heart, Lord, the things that get in the way, all this stuff that just piles up, Lord, and we don't keep our relationship with You sweet, just to keep it a love affair. Oh, Lord, help us. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for the things that I let creep into my life, Lord, that get in the way. Cleanse me. Help me, Lord. Help this church this morning. Lord, hands went up all over the place. And Lord, I just pray even right now that the Spirit of God is working in hearts all over this room. Lord, cleanse sin. Restore relationships. Make us right with one another, Lord. And make us, most of all, Lord, make us right with You. Thank You this morning, Lord, for Your goodness, for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, that when we come to You, we are never cast out. You never turn us away. Thank You for that throne of Your grace, Lord, where we can obtain mercy and just find grace to help in a time of need like this. Have Your way in hearts here this morning, Lord. We thank You so much. We pray for Your continued blessings on Brother Wilps, his wife, his children, and the work there for the churches that he left behind, Lord. It's evident, Lord, as he said this morning, his heart is there. It's where he wants to be. And Lord, so we pray you'll raise up the finances, the needs, Lord, just so that that work can keep going. And I pray you'd help us, Lord, as a church, whatever part we would have in this, Lord. We pray you just help us to give, even this morning, by faith, to give generously, cheerfully. Thank you, Lord, that you allow us to invest in the work of the gospel where it's going on in places like Paraguay. And Lord, we pray you'll have your way in our hearts today. We thank you so much for this meeting. And Lord, we give all the results, whatever they may be, Lord, we give you all the glory. And we thank you for visiting with us today, Lord. And may you bless the rest of this day, our meeting together, the fellowship, our time, Lord, for some to get to know one another a little better. We pray you'd help in that, Lord. We pray even now, Lord, your blessings upon the food, upon those that have been working all morning to get it ready. And Lord, we just give this whole day to you, Lord. Thank you so much for what you've done. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to ask the ushers if they'll come at this time. Thank you, brother, for the message. And I think our hearts have been blessed this morning by this. Did you get a blessing out of that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you weren't here for the protracted announcement and explanation this morning, let me just let you know what we're doing now. Not only our regular offering, which we did not take this morning, but a love offering for the missionary and for the work in Paraguay. And if you plan to give anything for the missionary and his work, then please do that in a separate envelope. All right? If you need two envelopes this morning instead of your usual one, then just hold your hand up. The men will get it to you right now, okay? And we'll give you a second to fill that out. But please don't split that and put it in one envelope and make one check for both things. If you have to write two checks, write two checks. But we want to, whatever is for the missionary and his work there, make it separate. It'll just help the deacons, as soon as we're done with the meeting here, to do this a lot more easily so that they can get out there in fellowship too. All right. Anybody need more time? All right. Okay. I'll give you a second. And once again, if you didn't come prepared today for a cookout, maybe you forgot about it, didn't bring any food, that's perfectly okay. Please don't go home. Stay in fellowship, and we got plenty of food, so there'll be enough for everybody. All right? Anybody else need more time? Okay, let's bow our heads. Father, we do thank you again for the privilege that we can give today, Lord, just to invest in the things of God. You said, where our hearts are, there will our treasure be, and where our treasure is, there will our hearts be. And Father, may our hearts be always upon the things of God, and may it show in the way we give. Lord, help us never to need to be compelled, for it never to be an emotional thing. Sad stories and tears are not what should motivate us to give, but simply a love for Jesus Christ, an understanding, Lord, that the work of God goes on because your people give. And we thank you, Lord, for the small part that we can have in it. Bless each and every one this morning, Lord, that's going to give today. Thank you for taking care of our church, for just our financial needs, Lord, over all these long years. Thank you for being so faithful, Lord. And we just commit this offering to thee now, Lord. We thank you for it in advance. We know it'll be sufficient. And we just want to praise you now, Lord, for allowing us to do this. May you bless each and every one that has a share in it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. teenagers already have instructions? Or do you, all right. Together. All right, you all know where the general direction where the food is. We've already prayed. We've already thanked the Lord for the food. So we'll meet you under the tent. God bless you. We're dismissed.